sing praises to Him. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Sounds good this morning. Are you glad you're here? Amen. Amen. All right, I'm glad you're here too. I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad we got to be here together. We're talking about prayer. We've been talking about things that will help us as a part of the Lord's body to really genuinely be a house of prayer for the Lord. That's what our goal is. That's what we want to be. We want to be known as a people of prayer. We want to pray asking God to bless us, not only do that, but to bless our lives in His kingdom as we live and work in His kingdom. We've been talking about things like learning how to pray. We looked a couple of weeks ago at the request that Jesus' disciples made of Him. Lord, teach us how to pray. And we talked about some things that will help us understand prayer a little bit more. Last week, we looked at the dedication of the temple in Jerusalem when God spoke to Solomon, and he talked about what He would do for His people. He said, if My people would do four things, He said. Remember what those four things were? He said, first of all, if they'll humble themselves, and secondly, if they'll pray. And third, He said, if they will seek My face, and if they will turn from their wickedness. He said, I will hear from heaven. Well, this morning I want us to take a look at another event, another example from the Scriptures of prayer. One that is, I would suggest, is probably one of the most unusual events of prayer that ever took place. You say, now I've prayed myself in a lot of places, okay? But I'll tell you this, I have never, I hope I never, ever have the experience that Jonah had of praying from inside a fish. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. Let's take a look at Jonah's situation. What was going on with Jonah? What had happened to him to bring him not just to where he was, but bring him to the point of prayer? Let's notice a few things about Jonah's prayer this morning. You know, as I think about Jonah, as I look at his situation, the reason he was there to begin with was because he was obedient to God, wasn't he? God said, Jonah, I want you to go to the city of Nineveh. I want you to preach to those people. Jonah said, I ain't going there. I'm not going to Nineveh. In fact, he got on a ship and went the other way, didn't he? See? As if we could run from God. Okay? And of course, God got his attention. You know the story. God brought the storm upon the sailors, and they're starting to throw things overboard in order to, take a little bit of that weight off the ship and so forth. And it all comes down to where the captain says, they draw straws, find out who's angered the gods. And the straws come down to Jonah, and the captain says, what have you done? Jonah says, throw me overboard. Jonah, I imagine, at that point had given up his life. You know, you don't say, throw me overboard in the middle of the sea, in the middle of a storm, thinking that there's any hope for you to get out of that, do you? You see? And so I think that Jonah, at that point, has reconciled himself that he's lost, he's going to die, it's over with. But God wasn't finished with him yet. Okay? And so, let me ask you to think about it this way. Think about it. Can you think of any kind of a situation that would be more desperate than being in the middle of the ocean inside the belly of a fish? Okay? Besides all the gooiness, all right, that would be there, can you think of any situation that might be more desperate? I can't. Okay? I can't think of it. That was a hopeless, hopeless situation. And yet it was from that hopeless situation that Jonah cried out to the Lord. And I think that as we look through the Scriptures and we look at all kinds of different circumstances that people find themselves in, one of the things that we see over and over again is when people are in desperate situations is when they turn and cry out to the Lord. And that's exactly what Jonah did. Jonah was in, as some people would say, he was in a fix. Okay? And he cried out to the Lord. What can we learn about Jonah's prayer? What can we learn about Jonah's circumstance from inside the fish that will help us today in our prayer life as we find ourselves in various situations or predicaments? There are three things that I want to point out to you this morning about Jonah's prayer from inside the fish that I think will be helpful to us as we seek and strive to be more and more of a people of prayer. The first thing is that Jonah realized the predicament that he was in. Look at verses 1 through 6. Look at the way that Jonah expresses himself to God. And the Lord tells us here that from inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord. And by the way, this isn't just some fairy tale, right? Everybody knows that. Okay? This is a true story. As much as people try to discredit the Bible today, Jesus himself even quoted from this. He told about the story of Jonah, you see. And if you believe that Jesus, what Jesus had to say, and he's not a liar, he gives authenticity to the fact that, yes, Jonah was inside this fish for 3 days and three nights. And so it's from inside the fish that Jonah cries out. He prays to the Lord and he says, "In my distress, I called to the Lord and he answered me." Look at how desperate Jonah was. Look at the circumstance he was in. He says, "From the depths of the grave, I called for help and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled around me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight. Yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountain I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever." I don't know about you, but to me that sounds pretty pitiful. I mean, that sounds pretty hopeless, doesn't it? You know, it's like, all right, what's the chances of getting out of this? Okay? Slim and none is what we would like to say. Here he is inside of this fish, and he's describing his situation from his perspective. He's looking at his condition and his situation, and he's saying, this is it. This is hopeless. I'm at the bottom here. Not only am I at the bottom of the sea, I'm inside of a big fish. I would think that that would be one of those times when a person would look at the situation they're in and go, "I don't see how this is going to turn out good in my favor at all." See? I just don't see it. You ever had those kind of situations in your life? Where maybe you're looking at what's going on in your life at the time and you're going, "This isn't good. I don't see how this is going to work out in my favor." See? I just don't see it. I don't see how this is going to work for me. I don't see a solution. You ever found yourself that way? Yeah. A couple of us have, apparently. I find myself there lots of times. Lots of times. And that's where Jonah was at this point in his life. He's looking at this going, I don't see a solution to this. But even though he doesn't see a solution, what's really great about it is he doesn't give up. He doesn't give up. Even when I don't know if this is going to work out, I don't see a solution to this, I'm inside of a fish. It's not like he could have gone back through the history books and gone, "Oh yeah, this happened once before," like we can. God worked it out. Oh no, he's the one. But he didn't give up because he was praying. Okay? He was praying from inside that fish, in this desperate situation that he was in. From the depths, he called out to the Lord. And you see, there's a vital lesson there for you and I. Because, yes, I do face times. I have in my life. I face times where I look at the situation and the circumstance and say, I don't know how this is ever going to work out. I don't have a solution to this. I can't see any possible way that this is going to work out for good here. But that's the wonderful thing about the God that we serve. That's the wonderful thing about prayer, is that I know that when I have turned those situations over to God, that He has come up with a solution that in my wildest imagination I couldn't come up with. And just like He did with Jonah, He's rescued me over and over and over again. How about you? That's the kind of God that we serve. When everything looks hopeless, when the situation that we're involved in looks like this is not going to turn out in my favor, we have a God that can make it so. We have a God, by the way, who wants to make it so for us in our lives. You see, just like Jonah, God had something He wanted Jonah to do. He wasn't finished with him yet, you see. And because of his disobedience is why Jonah found himself in that situation. But God said, I'm not giving up on him. I still got work for him to do. And so God found a solution to Jonah's whole predicament, his obedience and everything, so that He could bring Jonah to the point where he would do what God wanted him to do. And God still does that very same thing today. When you find yourself in a predicament, in some kind of a situation, some kind of circumstance that looks like, you know, again, this isn't going to turn out good. I don't see how. I hope that you'll turn to God. I hope that just like Jonah, that you will call upon the Lord. But you won't do that unless you realize that He's got stuff for you to do. Okay? He's got work for you to do. He's not going to give up. So Jonah, in this desperate situation, he cries out to the Lord. But you know, even also another thing that Jonah did, the second thing that Jonah did was that he recognized his sin. He recognized his sin. Look at what he says in verse 4 here. I said, I have been banished from your sight. Why would Jonah recognize that? Well, you see, because Jonah, like all the rest of the Hebrews, knew and understood the whole concept that when you disobey God, that God will turn His eyes away from you. The psalmist writes in Psalm 34 and verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears attentive to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. And Jonah knew that his predicament that he found himself in, inside that fish, was caused by his own sin, by his disobedience to God, his own willfulness against what God wanted. Jonah realizes that. I mean, think about it this way. When you're however many feet down the big fish was swimming and you're inside of that big fish, there's a lot of thinking time there, isn't there? You know, a lot of time to reflect. Now, how did I get into this thing again? Oh, yeah. I seem to recall something about God telling me to go to Nineveh. And I went the other way. Let me ask you this question. How many times have you found yourself in some kind of a predicament that, as we were talking about, that you just don't see how it's going to work out in your favor? How many times have you really looked intently at that situation you're in and realized that most likely the reason that you're there to begin with is because of your own sin? You see, I think one of the things that we have to understand about this relationship with God and this communication with Him is that one of the things that is so vitally necessary for us to do is to acknowledge and to recognize our sins. You see? Because otherwise, what we're doing when we pray to God is to say, God, I'm not going to do what you tell me to do, but I want you to bless me anyway. Why should we think that God is going to answer our prayers when we're refusing to obey His will? See? Why should we think that God is going to answer our prayers when we refuse to obey His will? You see, sometimes, just like with Jonah, God puts us into those difficult, seemingly impossible situations for that very reason. He wants to get our attention. It calls us to recognize that the direction we're going in is the wrong direction, so that we will turn around and go the right way. But if we refuse to acknowledge our sin, if we refuse to acknowledge our disobedience, then we really should have no expectation that God is going to bless us. So I want to challenge you to think about it this way. You know, we're trying to focus on prayer and encourage us to be praying more and praying more and praying more, going before God and calling upon His name. But I want to encourage you to realize this and think about this, that in our calling upon the name of the Lord, one of the first things that we have got to do is to acknowledge our sinfulness before God. If we expect God to bless us and to answer our prayers and to help us in our predicaments, we have got to acknowledge our sin before Him. Because otherwise, as the psalmist said, God's ears are deaf to us if we refuse to repent and turn to Him. Don't expect God to answer your prayers if you're not going to repent of your disobedience to Him. But Jonah learned that, I think, in the belly of the fish. He realized that. And he acknowledged that, you know, he had been turned away from God because of his own disobedience, his own sinfulness. But then, the third thing that I want us to take away from this prayer is that Jonah renewed his faithfulness. Not only did he recognize his sin, not only did he call upon the Lord in his despair, but he renewed his faithfulness. And you and I need to be doing that on a regular basis. Okay? I want to suggest to you that this isn't a one-time thing. Okay? This is an all-the-time thing. Because I want you to notice what does Jonah do here? What does he say? Go down to verse 7. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you to your holy temple. Look at verse 8. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. And then look at this last statement here. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. Wow. You see, Jonah realized that who he was, first of all, in relationship to God. And that's something that you and I need to remember all the time, who we are in relationship to Him. He is the Creator. We are the created. So He has a right to tell us to go to Nineveh if He wants to, you see. Doesn't He? Yeah, He does. Okay? And so when we keep that relationship in its proper perspective, that He is God and we are His people, you see, that will help us in our calling out to Him. It's when, as we see people today, thinking that they don't need God, thinking that, you know, they're better than God, they have no hope. So we need to keep our perspective where it needs to be. You see, it's that humility, and we talked about that last week and mentioned it again. Wasn't that the first thing that God told Solomon about his people? If my people, who are called by my name, will what? Humble themselves. And that's what it requires us to humble ourselves, you see. To be even like Jonah, to humble himself and to call upon the name of the Lord, to realize who he is and what he has done against the Lord. And he made a promise. He, in a sense, kind of renewed a vow, didn't he? Look at what he says here. What I have vowed, I will make good. Don't miss this part. This is really, really important. And the reason I think it's so important is because you and I, already this morning, we've made several vows. Did you realize that? Did you realize that this morning already you have made several vows to the Lord? Okay? Some of you are going, I don't remember saying anything. If you have sung some of the songs that we've sung this morning, you've made some vows to the Lord. Do you remember? We place you on the highest place, for you are the great high priest. We place you high above all else, all else. And we come to you and worship at your feet. Have you really placed him at the highest place? Have you really placed him above all else in your life? Is that the place that he really occupies? That's a vow. Okay. We sing other songs like, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs for you. That's a vow. The question is, are we going to keep those vows? Are we going to keep the vows that we make? We make promises to God. Those are vows. Are we going to keep them? Okay. And Jonah says those words, what I have vowed, I will make good. Can you say that about yourself in your relationship with God? Can you pray that prayer to Almighty God right now in your life? I hope you will. What I have vowed, I will do. So, I vowed this morning to place him as the high, at the highest place, high above all else in my life. I want to keep that vow. How about you? But, you know, we got to realize, we got to remember, it's an everyday challenge. It's an everyday renewal. It's an everyday going back and reaffirming. Because all the while we're trying to do that, Satan is trying to get us to let go of those vows and not keep them. And so we need to understand, see, God doesn't want us to just make a vow to him one time. He doesn't want us just to come to him and say, okay, God, how about this? How about that? He wants us to come to him how often? All the time. Pray continually, the scriptures tell us. Pray without ceasing, you see. He wants us to come to him and talk to him. And in so doing, to come to him when we're in the midst of those hopeless situations. But to remember sometimes why we're there. Not always are we there in that hopeless situation because of our sin, but many times we are, aren't we? He wants us to remember the vows that we've made. He wants us, in other words, to renew our faithfulness to him. Okay? Just like Jonah did. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed. in a desperate, desperate situation, hopeless situation. But in hopelessness, God raised him up. The last statement of that chapter is, "And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land." This may be an insignificant little thing, but I like this. You know, it's kind of like the Israelites crossing the Red Sea, you know, and the point that it says there that they crossed over on dry ground, you know. God didn't even make Jonah swim in it. Did you notice that? You see? He spit him up on dry ground. You see? That's what our God can do. No matter what your situation, no matter how hopeless it seems, no matter how desperate you might find yourself being, no matter whatever the situation that you can't see how it might work out for the good, know that you serve a God who can. And if you will repent of sin in your life and vow to serve Him and Him alone, God will take care of you. He won't always work things out the way you want them to work out, but He will work it out. He will work it out. And He will give you what you need to sustain you. Renew your faithfulness to Him like Jonah did. Call upon the Lord to help you with whatever might be going on in your life. If there's something that's happening with you right now, maybe you find yourself in a desperate situation that you don't know what to do, let's bring it before the Lord right now. You know, let's take it to Him. And let's see what He'll do with that hopeless situation that you're in. If there's someone here this morning who's not yet a Christian, if you haven't given your life to Christ, if you're ready to do so, if you're ready to make that commitment to be His child, to serve Him, to obey Him, you can do that right now this morning. Call upon the name of the Lord. Call upon Him as your Lord and Savior. Repent of the sin that's separating you from God, and you can have those sins washed away in baptism right now. We've got water ready right behind me. You don't have to wait. So if that's what you're ready to do this morning, if you need to, then just come up and let me know. We'll do it. Whatever your need is, we're here to help with it this morning. We're here to lift it up before the Lord so we can find His solutions to our impossible situations. Wes, if you'll come up and lead us in a song, let's stand together and we'll use this as an invitation. Let's stand together.